Well, it's going to be an exciting day, and we're going to try and make this not the Jared show. So would you all stand with me as we get started? We're going to sing a couple of songs. And as we sing these songs today, again, this is not the Jared show. I happen to be filling the pulpit for Sam, but it's not about me. We're going to sing a lot of songs that are very personal today, that are personal between us and Jesus. So let's open in a word of prayer and get things started. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for who you are and for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross for us, for offering us the free gift of eternal life through faith. Lord, thank you for all that you are and all that you've done. But Lord, help us to choose you. Help us to adore you, to walk with you, to live for you. Lord, from our hearts today, we want to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Your love has rescued us. The cross delivered all our hearts from fear. Our hope is here. You came to make a way. Jesus, you came to raise the dead to life. Our song will rise. Oh, great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. Oh, great and mighty King, for all eternity we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy Lord. What do we have to bring? This is our offering, our hearts before the risen Lord. All power in your name, Jesus, the one who saves, be lifted high. Our song will rise. Oh, great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. Oh, great and mighty King, for all eternity we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy Lord. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Your glory fills this place. We shout unending praise. Forever, alleluia. Forever, alleluia. Oh, great and mighty King, you reign in majesty. Before your throne we sing, holy, holy. Oh, great and mighty King, for all eternity we bow with heaven and sing, holy, holy Lord, holy Lord, yeah, holy Lord. Give the Lord a round of applause. He's holy. He's worthy of our praise. Come on. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. Father's. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, is and the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad. Please go and be seated as we continue this morning. You know, back when I was in high school, we would sing some of these songs. We'd turn the lights off, and we would sit in a circle, kumbaya style, and we would worship the Lord, fall in love with your Savior. You are good, you are good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you're the reason that I sing. You are life, in you death has lost its sting. I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. And you are more. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus, Jesus, my heart will sing, no other name. Jesus. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world forever reign. Lord, we can run to your arms, knowing that you are good. Your love, your light, your hope, your peace, your true, your joy, your life. You are more than our words could ever say. You are Lord. You are also here. You are our God, and we walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being trustworthy and true. Thank you for having your arms wide open for us. Lord, we love you. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give. I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. It is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I want to encourage you, worship the Lord with giving. Worship Him with your heart. You won't know this song, most likely, but it's a song from your heart to the Lord. He's worth your praise. He's worth your honor. You gave your life in place of mine and called me your own. You brought me to life. Now my life's not my life. It belongs to you. I belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. Left on my own, I'd never know the beauty at hand or see the story unfold. How you brought us to life. Now your life is our life. We are one in you. We belong to you. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. You alone, you are worthy of all my praise. You alone, you're the one I live for. I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own. I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own. I am not my own, I'm yours alone. I am not my own. Yes, I am not my own. I'm yours alone, you alone, you are worthy of all my praise, you alone, you're the one I live for, you alone, you are worthy of all my praise, you alone, you're the one I live for. Yeah, the one I live for. You're the one I live for. Oh, the one I live for. You're the one I live for. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, amen. Whew. Man, I love Jesus. And I love singing about him. I love living for him. I love adoring him. I love coming to church. It's a privilege and an honor to be standing in front of you all today. Who am I? I am not Pastor Sam, as you all well know. He is the normal pastor of Lake Hazel Bible Church. My name is Jared. I serve as an elder on the leadership here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. And you also might recognize me as the worship leader. If you're a teenager, then you'll recognize me as your Sunday school teacher. And if you're familiar with Shiloh Bible Camp and the Timothy program, then you'll recognize me as the Boise area Timothy advisor and discipleship teacher. And if your car's ever broken down and you Googled Idaho's best auto repair shop, winner of 24 and 25, you would see my business and you would recognize me as the owner of that business with my business partner. But again, we're not here to talk about me. We're here today to talk about someone else, and his name is? Thank you. You know the answer from Sunday school that gets it right every time. Jesus. There's no one worth talking about more than Jesus. So when I was asked to preach in Pastor Sam's absence, first I went into a panic, and then I prayed and I came to this conclusion that God has a message to share, and I'm going to share it. That message, yes, you guessed it, it is all about Jesus. So before we get into our text today, we need to do a quick review because some of you weren't here last September when I preached. So if you were in attendance last time in September of 24, you might remember I preached a three-week sermon series. We discussed philosophy in week number one. We established first that God's word is true. Second, God's word, which is his testimony about himself, reveals that he has a plan. And finally, you and I are part of that plan. In week two, the sermon was titled, What is the Church? We learned that there's criteria, features, and benefits of being part of the church. The church is also called the body of Christ. First, you need to be a believer to be included in the church. Second, the church performs a function of evangelism. And finally, that the church is where believers, it's you and me, mature. Another key understanding from Ephesians, which is where we were studying last fall, was that the church is God's idea. It's not man's idea. And he has the ultimate say in what it is, as well as what it's supposed to do. Which brings us to our third sermon from that series, which was titled, You Can Do This. We discussed that as a Gentile, that's you and me, we're not Jews, who's been included in the church, you are a testimony. I am a testimony of God's wisdom to all onlookers, both spiritual and physical. God has given you a purpose, whether you know it or not, and whether you like it or not. You were made to walk with Jesus. So choose to walk with Jesus. So today, if you've read ahead in your bulletin, then you know already that we're going to be studying in the book of Philippians. So go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 1 right now. But we're not just going to stay in Philippians. Next week, we're going on a little journey through several scriptures and learn more about what it looks like to participate in the church, to walk with Jesus. So you won't want to miss that. Come back for next week. Now, make no mistake, as we discuss the church, I am not talking about Lake Hazel Bible Church. I am not talking about a religion recognized by mankind. I'm talking about the body of Christ, which is the group of believers in Jesus and his promise of eternal life. He is the Redeemer of all mankind, the great and mighty King that we just sang about, who both created all things and will someday sit on an eternal throne over all things. We're talking about that church, the one where believers recognize who it is that has called them and who it is who has given them a purpose and a plan to live by. We're talking about that Jesus and those believers. To be very clear, we're talking about the same guy who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He's the same guy who said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." He happens to be the same person that said, "I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may also be." And don't forget, he said, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Folks, we're talking about a very important person whose name is Jesus. He's also known as the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, Redeemer, Lord. We're talking about his church, his organization, not some affiliation that people send checks and money orders to. We're not discussing a TV ministry, a social justice organization, a political affiliation, or any other man-made understanding of the word church. And we're certainly not talking about a building. Today we're discussing you and me, people. But it's not my word or my description that you need to pay attention to today. It's God's word. It's his description. So that's what we're going to look at, and that's why we're going into the scriptures today. So we're going to seek out God's testimony about himself to us. So my question for you is, are you ready? Amen. All right, let's do this. Buckle up, folks. We're going for a ride. So we're going to get into our text of Philippians 1. In this first section, Paul gives a recognizable greeting, we see it in all of his books, to believers called saints in a particular place called Philippi. And Philippi, let's talk quickly about Philippi. Philippi is notable. Does anybody know why it's notable? I'll tell you why. Philippi is notable because it's the first European church. Paul established that in his second missionary journey, and you can read all about it in Acts chapter 16, which details a portion of his second missionary journey and subsequent arrest in Philippi, which is around 50 to 51 AD. In Acts 16, it says that both Jesus and the Holy Spirit directed Paul on his missionary journey and forbade him from continuing into Asia. He was on his way to Asia setting up churches. Effectively, they directed him to Europe. And it's important to remember that this book, Philippians, is actually written at a later date than the events of Acts 16. It was written at approximately 60 to 62 AD during Paul's house arrest in Rome, which he references later in Philippians. And it's actually written about in Acts 28. So you can read that for yourself. Acts 16, where he's passing through, setting up the church. Acts 28, where he's on house arrest and writing letters back to the churches. So this letter, written about 10 years after Paul's first visit to Philippi, is addressed to the Philippian church, along with the overseers and deacons over the congregation of believers. Remember, the word church means people. People who have believed in Jesus and are participants in his organization according to Jesus' designs. You will recall how we said earlier that during my sermon series last year, we discussed that it is the church's responsibility to evangelize, to share the gospel of Christ, and this function is assigned to the church, to every believer, and it is a common mission. Just like any mission, it has participants acting in various capacities to further that mission's progress. So let's take a look, open up your Bibles, verses 1 through 8. Read along with me. We're in the ESV version of the Bible. It should also be on the screen. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. Two times, Paul reminds the Philippian church that they are in partnership with him as he continues his ministry, building up believers. Now, the Philippian church didn't all embark on missionary journeys with Paul. Rather, they participated remotely. They participated where they were at in Philippi. A couple of weeks ago, if you were here, we had the wonderful opportunity to hear about this mission trip to Uganda. The Ritchie family and others traveled around the globe to share the truth about Jesus and his promise of the free gift of eternal life to Ugandans, both people and pastors. It doesn't get any more biblical than that. You are the Philippians. The Ritchie family is Paul in this way. You yourselves are like the Philippian church who supported Paul when you did likewise with the Ugandan missionary. You see, we all have a part to play in spreading the gospel of Christ. You have a part to play in spreading the gospel of Christ. Furthermore, Paul has a very important message for his partners in the gospel that they need to hear, and that message is all about encouragement and growth. So we're going to keep reading. We're going to read a lot of scripture today. It's what I like to do best, let the Bible talk. Verses 9 to 11 says this, "And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." So I have a question for you. Why is Paul's prayer for the Philippian church to have knowledge and discernment and the ability to prove what is excellent? Why would Paul pray this? Clearly, there's something requiring a discerning mind, something that needs to be addressed in relation to the Philippian church and the gospel. As we keep reading, we're going to find out what it is. By the way, whenever you have a question about what Paul or another biblical author is referring to, you generally need to look no further than the surrounding context of the scripture to find your answer. And we'll find our answer as to what concern was precipitating Paul's encouragement to grow in knowledge and discernment as we continue reading to the end of chapter 1. So keep your finger on verses 9 to 11 or mental bookmark here where Paul is calling the reader to attention. The big idea of preparedness, readiness, attentiveness, discernment will come into play in Paul's dissertation shortly. But first, he shares a little progress report on the gospel expansion ministry, much like we heard from the Ritchie family a couple of weeks ago. Let's look into verses 12 to 18. You can keep reading. "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. So it's no surprise that our first point today is this. The gospel of Jesus will not be stopped. It will not be stopped. Sometimes we begin to get discouraged in our faith as believers for various reasons, whether it's the stuff of life that weighs us down mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, or maybe it's the ease of living. You have no worries, no problems. Life is good. We become passive, stagnant. Paul's reminder in verses 12 to 18 is a little bit of a wake-up call to all believers. Whether you like it or not, the gospel of Jesus, the truth about Jesus, the testimony about Jesus will not be stopped. Whether some choose to twist the story, such as these who are mentioned in verse 15 that preach Christ from envy and rivalry, selfish ambition, lacking sincerity, or whether you and I take this gospel and share it with a sincere heart, honestly desiring that those around us would be introduced to the Son of God and forever changed. Remember when I said that we all have a part to play? Do you think you could share the love of Jesus with someone? Do you think you could share the hope of eternal life with someone? I think you could. As we are the church, members of the body of Christ, we've been given the responsibility to take Jesus with us wherever we go and present him to the world around us. We're going to see more about that in Philippians chapter 2. Maybe in a missionary journey like Paul or the Ritchie family to Uganda, but maybe also right here in Boise, Idaho, at your job, in your home, with your kids and your grandkids, just like the Philippian church. You can absolutely make a difference right where you are. And that's not the core of today's message, but it's a bonus sermon, like Sam always says. Throw that one in for free. So let's move on to the next section where Paul sets an example for us as believers in how we should approach the gospel, how we should approach life and living from the perspective of a believer living in a world of persecution. We're going to read down through verses 26. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am to live in the flesh, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. I love this encouragement from Paul so much. Many of you know that scripture by heart, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But I want to be sure that you don't miss this today. Paul's hope is not just to die. It's to live. Oftentimes we quote this verse and immediately envision our eternal security, the fact that we're good to go with God thanks to Jesus' promise of eternal life, which hinges on his faithfulness and not ours. But Paul's point here in this section is not eternal security. His point is this. Make me a promise to live. Look at verses 23 to 25. Paul shares his very honest desire to be with Jesus. Don't we all want that? Of course we do, right? But the conclusion to the matter is clear. It's more necessary to live. If your time comes, friends, hallelujah, we will rejoice for those who go to be with Jesus before us. But in the meantime, please don't take this the wrong way. We've got to get our head out of the clouds, because you and I have work here while we're here to do. It's work that you need to do and that I need to do, because I don't have your influence in your circles and you don't have the influence in my circles. You might find that this last point is worded a bit strangely, and it's actually because it's lyrics to a song by, you guessed it, my favorite band, Disciple. Promise to live. I got to work Disciple into every single sermon I do. It's great. Okay. I'm going to read you some lyrics from this song. This is where redemption lives, in your surrender. You got to remember what the truth is. Situation critical. Now you're staring down a miracle. Step out, because I'm waiting on the waves. You got to believe me. These words are spoken from the perspective of Jesus, reminding us of the truth and asking us to trust him. The final words in the chorus of the song are, with your hand on my heart, make me a promise to live. The song reminds me of Philippians 1, where Paul is showing us what it looks like to live for Jesus. Not just believe in Jesus or be ready to die for Jesus, but live. That includes suffering and mistakes and frustration and surrender. Perseverance, effort, love, and so much more. In reality, Jesus is asking us, not forcing us, to live for him. Remember earlier when we said that he's the most important person worth talking about and worth living for? That same Jesus has entrusted you and me with the gospel, the good news that brings eternal life to all who believe. The truth of Scripture, it's God's testimony. Make a promise to live today, friends, to live for Jesus, to walk with him, to choose him, to take the truth and share it with someone today. It's heavy stuff, right? Whew. Okay. Take a mental break. We're going to go into this last section of chapter 1. We'll wrap things up here shortly, okay? I ask you to keep your finger on verses 9 to 11. So this final section of chapter 1 is why. Over the course of the chapter, Paul has included the Philippian church in his ministry, given a progress report, encouragement in the midst of his own struggles, and now direction. If Paul was a motivational speaker, this would be the main event, the meat of his presentation right here in verses 27 to 30. So read with me, 27 to 30. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them and of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Point number 3. Living for Jesus will be worth it in the end. As believers, as members of the church, Jesus' church, there is a manner of life that is worthy, and there is also a manner that is not. Paul tells us here what that manner looks like when it is lived in a worthy way. What outcome will pour out of that manner of life? How about reputation, to stand firm in unity together? How about striving side by side for the faith of the gospel? How about not being frightened by opponents to the truth? It might also look like suffering for Christ's sake. Now I know what you're thinking. What does this have to do with verses 9 to 11? Well, let's go back and take a look. Verses 9 to 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You've been given purpose, friends. So often we hear people talk about big questions like, where did we come from, or what's the meaning of life? Well, let me tell you today, without any reservations, you as a believer have meaning to your life. That meaning has been assigned to you by your Creator, by the head of the church, who is Jesus. And it's to give glory and praise to God. And you absolutely can do this. When you make a promise to live for Jesus, day by day, you are actively participating in fulfilling that meaning to your life by bringing glory and praise to God. When you live in unity with your fellow believers, work together for the furthering of the gospel through missions like Ugandan missions or other missions, you're actively participating in fulfilling that meaning to your life of bringing glory and praise to God. Friends, it's not always easy, and it's going to take love, knowledge, discernment to live this manner of life that Paul is talking about. And someday, we will see the day of Christ. I don't know when, but we will. Rest assured, just like Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So today, let's make a promise to live so that when we see that day, we, like the Philippians, will be pure, blameless, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for setting up a plan for us. Thank you for including us in your plans. So often we get discouraged and it's difficult and we don't know what this looks like to live for you, to walk with you. Lord, show us as we dig through the scriptures, as we read your testimony, show us what that looks like. Teach us, train us, equip us to be your ambassadors that carry this message to the world. Lord, we love you. Help us to make a choice day by day to live. You're worth it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you all stand with me for our last song?
What to say, Lord, it's you gave me life and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now that you have saved me, Lord. I give all that I am to you that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I'll learn to stand up on your word and I pray that I may come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take, that every day I can be your light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. Every day I'll walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for every day. 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 I'll follow after you every day. I'll walk with you, my Lord. Walk with you, my Lord. Walk with you, my Lord.
Have a great day. You're dismissed. Walk with Jesus.